What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another edition, another installment, another episode. Oh yeah, we back in a bit. First of all, that wasn't enough. Not nearly enough for the guest that I am about to bring on today. Listen, first of all, welcome everybody again to the Black Men Win podcast, our Black Women Win series. This is our series, second annual time doing this. I'm very excited. This is our series where we talk to some very, very unique, dynamic, and outstanding Black women who are killing it in their respective industries. And I'm super, super, super excited for our guest that we have today. But first, before we get into all of that, please subscribe to the podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the THC Media Network channel. Listen, 365 subscribers. We are doing it. And I'm so thankful to all of you who continue to subscribe, like, share this podcast, all the podcasts that we have on our network. We appreciate you. We thank you. Listen, also, of course, Ty love kids. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, and because Ty loved kids, you understand what I'm saying? We got the Black Men Win Scholarship, you know what I'm saying, down below. You understand what I'm saying? Tell a friend to tell your nephew to tell his friend, okay, to apply for this scholarship. If there are young Black men, right, 17, 18, who are going into college, freshman year, whatever university or trade school, right? If you want to further your education, please apply for the scholarship, and the scholarship fund link to the actual scholarship will be down below in the description. So we'll leave the QR code up for the first 15 minutes of the show. Now, again, I am excited for the guest that I'm kind of fanning out right now. She don't know it, but I am. I'm a little fanning out right now because she continues to just make pathways for podcasters and creators like myself. A dynamic voice within the podcast and the culture community. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to the one, the only, Miss Anna DeShore. We in the building.
We in here, Ty. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm super excited that you're here. You know, first of all, guys, this is the lovely Miss Anna DeShore. She is here with us in the building. Now, y'all know Anna DeShore is busy, okay? Y'all already award winning. First of all, let me stop. Okay. Let me stop. All right, I'm gonna let you introduce yourself a little bit more because that's how we do it here. I'm gonna let you go. I'm getting a little, you know, excited and a little ahead of myself. So, Ms. Anna DeShore, can you introduce yourself a little bit more to the people?
I'd love to, and thank you again for having me on your show. I love this whole series. I love the fact that there is a Black Men Win Scholarship. I just sent that to my nephews. I think that's really just a beautiful thing. So thank you again for having me. It's always an honor to join people in the community and on their shows and to talk about my work. I am Anna DeShore. Pronouns, anything respectful is great. I'm a founder. I'm a social entrepreneur. And I believe in telling the stories that deserve to be heard. And for me, the medium today is audio. It is podcasting. And it is telling stories of the experiences at the intersections of race and sexuality when it comes to Black and brown folks, because we always been here, but our stories have not always been told. And I think audio is just a beautiful medium to be able to tell those stories. And so I'm really excited about the work we're doing with E3 Radio, our online radio station, playing queer music and reporting on queer news, which is where our queer news podcast was born, our award-winning podcast I'm really proud of. And the work that we continue to do and pivot as we go into the podcasting space with The Cube, which is our podcast production company, as well as a place where you can discover your next favorite Black or brown or queer person of color podcast. So I'm really excited about all the work. Can't wait to talk about more. And Yeah, just really grateful to be here and send that scholarship to like 3 or 4 more people.
No, for real, send the scholarship. Send the scholarship, because listen, I'm trying to get some guys up in here. I'm a first generation college student myself, so I know how hard it was to get scholarships, and I know I applied for like 150 of them at the time, so it was crazy. But Miss Deshaun, you are a dynamic voice that I got to have the humble pleasure of meeting at this past year's Afros and Audios podcast festival. And this was not my first year attending, but this was my first year in person, right? And to meet so many of my podcast favorites, and to now meet new podcast homies and favorites and friends, such as yourself. I want you to briefly talk about really quick how that experience was for you. With just us being in you showing up in this space of creators who look like you, right? I think we take these spaces for granted. So I just want you to talk just a little bit to that. What is it, how important is it for us to hold these spaces such as Afros and Audios or Black Podcast Festival, or, you know, or others that are becoming very prominent within the audio and podcasting space?
It's critical, right? Having spaces that are culturally aligned for folks and creators, especially, it's not an optional activity. So I spent a lot of time in Chicago in our nonprofit space doing work at a Black, lesbian, queer-led organization. It's been doing work for like over 26, 27 years. And that space to me is sacred. It truly is a sacred space because I could show up there as my full self, as a Black queer woman around other folks who understand what all of that put together really means. And there's only a certain group of people who can really understand what all of that put together really means. And those spaces are sacred. And so when we talk about spaces like Afros and Audio, when we talk about spaces like Black Podcasters Association or Women of Color Podcasters or the Black Pod Collective, I could go on and on, Matriarch Digital Media. Like, these spaces are sacred. Because when we talk about living in a country that is majority white, right, we're not minorities. I do not like that word. But what happens is that we do end up being underrepresented, especially when the greater majority can choose not to see you.
Right.
And so as someone who spent a lot of time in predominantly white institutions and spaces and even in corporate careers, they can choose not to see you. That is a choice.
That is a fact.
But as an underrepresented person, I can't choose not to see them, and I can't choose not to be a part of society. Right. But if I'm going to be a part of this and maintain some type of mental stability and some type of drive, I have to be intentional about surrounding myself around folks who will uplift me and my spirit and my identities. And I chose a long time ago not to show up in spaces with as half of myself, or choose to show up in spaces where people didn't want me to be my whole self. And so today I don't have time for that. And so when I show up in spaces, it's because they do want to see all of me and are okay with all of me showing up. And right. For me, those are sacred and they are necessary.
How did you, because to your point, I struggled as to your point, I was in, you know, very predominantly white corporate spaces and places. And I showed up unapologetically me, right? But as you just said, they choose to see you. And if you're choosing to be unapologetically you, and that rubs off as, I don't really want that in my corporation. I don't want that in my club. I don't want that in my space. How did you, because I was talking with a guest on our last video, how did you in those spaces not conform, Anna, but really just be yourself in those spaces where they're looking at you like, we don't know if she should be here. How can you talk to that a little bit? Because there are people in those spaces right now who really don't know how to how to juggle, because we hear so much. I know I hear a lot, especially now. Be yourself. Be unapologetically you. You can be here in this workspace and be yourself. But as soon as we be ourselves and unapologetically us, it's a problem. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I think we all learn that we grow up in America code switching all the time. Right. So I don't think it's a challenge for us to code switch in these spaces. I think we also know how to navigate when necessary. And I think we choose the battles that we want to fight, because the war is real. And there's all these little battles, and we get to choose which ones we want to tackle and which ones we don't. And where do we feel safe and where don't we feel safe to speak up in that given moment? Right. So I think that we all have to choose our battles and which ones we want to go after. And when I encounter challenges, especially in corporate America, where being who I am is a rarity, okay, it's just not a thing. I'm grateful I had a mama I could call who had it even harder than I did, right? Who went through some really tough and challenging moments during a time where things were far less accepting. And she just gave me so much great advice. I mean, she's still, even with her dementia today, she'll still tell me, just tie a knot and hold on, baby. You know, like that's a thing. And she reminds me that, you know, trouble doesn't last always, and that it will get better and you will make more money and you keep working hard and it pays off. Like, these are the things that she's always told me. My dad has totally different advice. Like, his advice is for a certain time and day. But my mom's advice is so sage, and it really holds me together. So I think for me, it has always been about being very clear that when those moments happened and they hurt, let's be clear about that. They hurt and they do cause harm, and that you will probably hold some of that with you always. But it's about, like, how does it motivate you after that? What do you do with it? How do you help the next person you see coming up? How do you channel that energy? What are you really called to be doing? And what are you called to do in this space? And then how are you preparing yourself for the next space or the next move you're going to make that's going to help further whatever you're supposed to be doing with your life? So I always try to keep those moments in perspective, and also owning my own gifts and why they wanted me in that space in the first place. And so if they don't value who you are or what you do, then you go somewhere else and you find somewhere else where you can give value, where people will appreciate all of who you are.
Period. Not, bomb drop. Not just the...
I love podcasts with sound effects. what you got over there? You got a Rodecaster?
I got the pod track. You already listen. The pod track. We got the PA. We got the PA. I just actually for his birthday, I just bought my brother, who was a co-host on my show and is actually starting his own show. Shout out to him. Love. I just bought him the pod track for his birthday. He was like, "Oh my god."
That is love.
Right. It's, and listen, and it to your it goes to your point, though. You have to in these corporate streets, you have to kind of, again, find the place that's going to accept you for you. And if that's not going to be this place, then hey, I can probably move over to this place, even though sometimes it may not work like that always. But you, as to Ms. Deshaun's point, like, you have to sit here and just know that everything is going to be okay and have faith. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us, like me and Anna, have parents who will sit here and give us that grace and give us that encouragement. A lot of us don't, right? But then you have us, you understand what I'm saying? Who are, if we're not hand to hand, we're over the our phone screens or our laptop screens, trying to give you that encouragement. because we know, we understand, and we may not know or understand to a certain degree, but we've been there before. You understand what I'm saying? So we want to give that encouragement to people and say, hey, you don't have to be stuck. Because I think me and Anna understand what it means to be stuck and not saying, hey, we're not going to be stuck anymore. That's we are too old to be sitting here being stuck in something that we don't need nor want to do, nor is it being conducive to our health, our wealth, building us up mentally, physically, spiritually, I'm there. And like, I'm there. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm in a place of space where if it's not working in those five areas for me, I can't give it that much time. You know, I can't give it that much time. I can't give it that much energy. I can't give it that much fervor.
100%. It's choices that we have to make, right?
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, you talked about age, but we already know age ain't got nothing to do with
it. Yeah, you're right.
it's a way of thinking. It's a way of being.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard you talk about faith. You know, it takes a lot of faith to jump out and do something that's risky. Right. And we hear people talk a lot about take the big risk, you get the big reward. Yeah. And you also get some big downfalls. Well, it goes both ways.
They don't talk about the big downfalls, man.
And it really annoys me. Can I talk about how much that annoys me? I also hate when people say, I worked really hard. Ciao. How many people we know that worked hard their entire life and life still don't seem like it's been fair? Okay. Right. I think that oftentimes we forget that this opportunity, and I will use I statements, this opportunity that I have today to live out my dream as a Black queer woman is in and of itself is a miracle. Okay. This is something that my ancestors and those that came before me would have never thought possible. Absolutely. Right. This is an absolute privilege that I can do this every single day. Right. Everybody is not in this position to do this. They don't have a choice. They don't, you know, they have other responsibilities calling them to do something and to do work that may not be what they were called to do. Right. We are one decision away, one moment away from being life changing just like that. And so I really sit in that all the time because I can't take any of this for granted because it goes past working hard. It goes past working hard. Our grandparents worked hard. You know, your mama worked hard. Your aunties work hard. Your cousins work hard every day. It's not about working hard. It's really not. It's about, are you doing what you called to do in every single day?
Yes.
Are you doing what you're called to do? And if you can't do what you're called to do every day, are you carving out time on the weekends or at night to refill your cup so that you can go do what you have to do?
You better stop, because you about to make me get a button that's, listen, y'all know that organ, that, okay, because I'm about to start getting I'm going to get a sound for that. You about to take me to church.
I'm just saying.
You are 100% right. If you are not doing what you are called to, and let me just say this, because Anna hit on it too. Change is difficult and change is hard. Okay? And it's uncomfortable. It is very uncomfortable. Trust me when I tell you, I've been going through a process of change. All of it ain't been comfortable. Not now one spick of it has been comfortable. I've been mad. I done cried. I done sat here through temper tantrum. but the overall effort and effect of the change that I've been going through, and this is not to say like, oh, at the core of me, I'm changing. No. It's at to say, like, the way I move and the way I look at life now has begun to really open my eyes. Like, I felt like I've always had my eyes open, but I'm listening more. I'm more aware. Life to me is a lot more precious than what it was 10 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? Like, things, time, I hold my time more tightly in my hands. So, I'm so excited for this interview, by the way.
Me too.
When we talk about all that you have accomplished so far, right? Because I feel like the stratosphere is for you, and you've accomplished so much already, Anna. Like I don't even think you have taken a step back and actually looked at everything just in the last year alone, maybe just in the last 6 months alone. And I'm looking at you and I'm like, yo, this is just her right now. I'm looking at you like, yo, in the future, to know that I can say, I know Miss Anna Deshawn, she's been on my podcast. Oh, that's going to be great. What were some of the challenges, some of the struggles, and what it took for you to get to where you are right now?
So really taking the big leap is, it's really a life-changing moment that you can have if you do it, right? I'm not the biggest fan of Steve Harvey, but he has this video because he does the Family Feud, like during commercial breaks or before the show, he'll do his like talk or whatever. And he has a talk that he mentions about taking the big leap, you know, and doing what you love to do every single day. And I really listened to that quite a bit. And I also read the book. Well, reading for me is actually listening. It's called The Big Leap. And that whole experience will absolutely change how you move in the world. There is a confidence that you have when you begin to live off of whatever you create and make. There is something so incredibly empowering about that. Not being dependent upon someone else to do their job, but it is about you doing what you are called to do. And things will just happen. Things will happen. They will come. I think it's funny, you know, Ty and I were talking about the plans we all have, and we be having like detailed plans. I'm a Virgo. I have very detailed plans, but I have come to also release those plans. And I see them more so as guides. They are guides. They help to move me in the right direction, understanding that I really don't know which call or connection or meeting or email is going to lead me to that end goal. I really don't. I have a path in mind, a plan in my head, but it has absolutely no say in what is actually going to happen. And when you have to do that a few times over and over and over again, like there is the big leap that you take initially, but then there's all these smaller risks, all these smaller leaps you have to take every day. Like faith is truly a muscle. So how strong are you, right? How often are you tapping into those muscles and exercising them? Like how strong is your faith? Because when you start to have to tap into your faith in this type of way, you understand why every time you see a celebrity get an award, they thank God first. Because some things don't have a rhyme or reason. Some things just happen in this divine order, in this alignment that I never experienced. And I'm going to use I statements. I never experienced when I was in corporate, because I wasn't open to experiencing it. Not that I wasn't open to the idea. It's just that my time, my head, my mind, my heart, all these things weren't open to the opportunities. I could not be available for it. But the moment you choose to be available for the blessing and choose to be available for your call, there's these divine alignment moments that you just can't explain. And you just cannot explain it. And so when you keep exercising that muscle and you keep building that faith muscle, it's really magical. When you talk about like things I've done, I don't know. Have I looked back? I do my daily meditations and I pray and I stay connected and I do my gratitude every single day. I take time to do my gratitude and write what I'm grateful for, because there's something that happens today that I'm grateful for this moment with you. Absolutely. Ty, right? And so I will write about this later today. And this is enough. And this is enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. First of all, as Anna Deshawn was talking, and I'm being producer Ty over here, right? She got me crying.
Come on.
Oh my God. I was. If y'all would have seen me on the camera, I'm so glad I put you on the front. Because if they would have seen me, they would have been like, "Is he crying?" Yes, because I've felt like I've been going through that season. That season of just understanding that enough is okay. Damn, Anna, that was so good.
Just telling you, it's just what I've been living, right? It's what I've been living, and it's what I know.
Yeah.
Because in this work, Ty, we work with other people.
We do.
So you can have your plan all you want to, but that don't mean it's in alignment with the other people's plan or the people who signed up to work with you's plan. You know why? Because life keeps living.
Right.
And life be on 10 sometimes. Yes, and I think all of us coming out of COVID and those who have, you know, we experienced this. We're still here. We survived it. And so many people did not.
Right.
And I think if you didn't take time to reevaluate how you want to live your life after COVID, you know, it's like before Christ, after Christ, like before COVID, yeah, after COVID. Yeah,
BCAC.
Like if you didn't take time to reevaluate how you're going to live your life, you really wasted an opportunity.
You did. Yeah.
To reset.
You're right.
It's not too late, but you wasted a moment to reset. Because the world reset. Yeah. It definitely is this life-changing. We've lived through a lot of life-changing moments, you know, our generation.
Yeah.
And you remember where you were, you learned about COVID, just like you remember where you were when 9/11 happened.
Yep.
Right. When Obama got elected. I mean, there's just been a lot our generation has experienced. Shoot, we pre social media, post social media. I mean, it's just.
I mean, I always tell I always tell the younger generation. I said, listen here, there would be no you if it wasn't for the me's and the Anna's that they probed on first, okay, and our cousins and our big cousins that they got first. With the, you know, we had the Bebos and the Moco Space and the MySpace and the Black Planets. And like I'm like, what y'all got now? Ha! 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 We had that back in the... But listen, it's crazy. Speaking to what you said about, you know, kind of being the voices of our culture, you are a voice of the culture, Anna. I know that not just myself, but a number of people listen to you on a daily to weekly to monthly basis. Tell us more about E3 Radio, Queer News Radio, and what you have been doing, the work that you have been doing over there, which has been, first of all, award-winning. Let's just put that out there. Award-winning, first of all. All right, twice, right? Three times, four times. Put a number on it.
Is four.
That's all I want. I just wanted you to just gloat a little bit. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Voice of a culture. I mean, that means a whole hell of a lot to me. That's actually one of my goals, is to be the voice of a generation. I feel like there's been so many amazing people who have come before all of us, who were the voices of their generation, who left their mark. My mentor in undergrad, Dr. Wanda Everidge, would always tell us to leave that place better than when we walked in. And I look at every situation I find myself in to do just that. And for me, E3 Radio and The Cube are a part of me leaving the world a little better than the way in which I found it. And so the work at the radio station, we're actually reprogramming to be queer all day, every day. And the Queer News podcast was born out of the work at the radio station. When I quit corporate, the first thing I did was I started a new show called Wake Up with Anna and Friends. I always wanted a morning show, always had a corporate job, couldn't do the morning. I was like, I'm going to start my own morning show, Wake Up with Anna and Friends. And I would have thought leaders on doing interviews, but it stopped giving me joy. So when I started reevaluating it, it was like a 2-3 hour show. Then I was like, let me just do 2 hours or 1 hour. And then I was like, I'm still not giving joy. And I ended up going to PodFest and Afros and Audio. And I left those conferences saying, I'm just going to take the part of the show that I enjoy the most, that gives me the most joy, and turn that into a podcast. And it was the queer news segment. So it was the part that I felt like wasn't happening in other places. And I have another mentor, Tracy Baim, who is a freaking journalism legend. What she's created in Chicago is second to none and anywhere else in the country and maybe the world. She told me one time that what she really enjoys about my commentary is when I start talking politics or news. And she really just loves that about my work. And I felt like queer news really helps me to tap into all of that, all of it, and telling the stories that Black and Brown queer folks and the Black community and Brown communities in general ought to know and uplift, and not be a news outlet where what bleeds leads. Like, that is the line in major newsrooms across the country. That's why the news is so sad. Because what bleeds leads. It's the most, it usually is probably the most important story, because maybe someone lost their life, but it's also the saddest stories, right? And there's a lot of beautiful things happening with queer folks of color across the country, despite all of the hate and anti-LGBTQ things happening in the country. So with increased visibility comes increased hate, right? And so I think it's just so important for the work of queer news to be intersectional, to tell our stories, to uplift things that are not being heard in other places, and creating a beautiful sacred space for that. So queer news has blessed me so much. I'm so grateful to be a vessel for that podcast. I freaking love it. And I'll keep doing it until it doesn't bring me any joy anymore.
you do an amazing job over at E3 at the Queer News Podcast, The Cube. I went to her session at the Afros and Audios Podcast Festival, and every session that I went to was very informative, and I have to credit a lot of the sessions for the kind of growth that I've had over the last 2 months, including yours. I am a workaholic by nature. What I did was I just took that workaholic mentality and kind of put it into here, right? And of course, you get what you get, right? I've become very successful in my space. But one thing I remember you saying, standing up and talking, was, guys, you don't have to do it all, okay? You don't have to do it all. You literally told us to our faces, like, there's easier ways to do this. You showed us the easier ways to do it. And I sat there and I was like, so I've been sitting here doing this not the wrong way, but the fact that you showed us a more effective way. And again, this is why these spaces are so, to your point, sacred, right? We don't get this type of information on a daily basis, right? And so when you are giving us information that can potentially help us succeed more in our podcast space, we have to give you your flowers for that. Because not only do you do it on a big stage like Afros and Audios, or in Black Podcasters Association, where you'll drop a gem or two, like Crystal, shout out to Crystal. You know, you guys are kind of, and I don't even want to use this word, because when we use this word, it's such a negative word, but I kind of want to turn it. I want to start using it in a more positive tone, connotation. I look at you as a positive gatekeeper, in a sense where you leave the gates open. Again, We hear the term gatekeeper, and it's always keep the gates closed. What's the password? What's the password? Oh, okay, you can get in. You got the password. All right. You his friend. Get out of here. Get out of here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And for a long time since I've been doing this, I've been called that myself, and I'm like, I don't like the term. because I've never tried to, you know, shy away from giving information. If somebody needed some help, I'm giving them help, you know? And when it's people like you and Crystal and others who know the game so well, have had your pitfalls, have had your struggles, and know the game so well, that could be like a lot of other people out here, you know, and like, let's keep it a bean, who could sit here and charge for free services, honestly, where you guys give out the game for the free 99, you know, for the free 99, for the five-finger discount. And I'm like, I got to listen. I got to tap in. And again, we just want to give you your flowers, because a lot of people don't do that and still continuously be successful at what you do. Before we get out of here, because one thing that really drove me home as a fan of yours, not just a pod homie or a pod friend, but a fan of yours, was the Brittany Griner situation. I know I talked about it on one of my podcasts. You not only talked about it, but you dug in so deep that I made sure to not go to any. No, I'm dead serious. I went to not. I made sure to listen, watch. I'm on your Instagram and I'm dug in. I'm not watching CNN. I'm not watching MSNBC. I'm watching the Queer News podcast and I'm watching E3 Radio. I'm watching Anna Deshawn dig into this. Can you talk about that whole journey for you in those spans of months? Because I, again, just like so many others who were listening and tapping into you, I was front row. You know, waiting for, because a lot of the things we did on the Grind It Out show, a lot of the times we talked about it, we always referenced you guys. You understand what I'm saying? And so I know for me, I was, again, as producer Ty, I'm always looking for the correct and factual evidence or topics to discuss. And I was front row. So can you take me through that journey for you and how that kind of changed your trajectory and what that meant for you during that time?
100%. And I want to answer both of the things you were talking about. So yes. the positive gatekeeper piece. Thank you. It means a lot to me. I believe gatekeepers exist because capitalism exists. And the way in which capitalism works is that a select few continue to get, and then they figure out who else can get a little, right? And so they gatekeep for their own wealth and greed purposes, right? And for me, I really don't align with capitalism. You can call it anti-capitalism, whatever. I just feel that we have to work within a system to do the good that we need to do for our families and for our communities, right? And with that mindset, it just shifts how I do work and how I live. Right. Like there's nothing I can't and don't want to tell you about my journey, because I hope that you find that same level of success, greater success, right? Because what I know is that there's more than enough for all of us.
Right.
There is more than enough for all of us to exist and to thrive and to be amazing and to find joy and happiness in all or whatever we want to do. And so it is only those who feel some type of who have fear around the lack. I don't believe in lack. I believe in there's like abundance in absolutely everything. But it's only those who live in that type of fear that want to gatekeep.
Yes.
Because it's such a waste of energy. It's so much better when we can all have fun. We can all get some. Right. I think one of the best real life examples of that is LeBron James and what he's been able to do with his career.
Absolutely.
And his select group of friends.
Absolutely.
It wasn't like I'm going out here by myself. It's like I'm tapping all of y'all to do y'all's part so that we can all win and all be on the yacht and all have our own and create legacy for all of our families.
Like absolutely.
Micro economies. Like Rachel Rogers talks about in her book, We Should All Be Millionaires. Those are the things we need to be tapping into.
Right.
When it comes to the Brittany Griner coverage, it was just so incredibly important to me to tell her story.
Yes.
Because I just saw her face in so many of my friends. And as someone who was also just such a fan of hers from the time she was in high school, right? It's like, you can go on YouTube today and Google Brittany Griner high school dunking. Okay. She, yeah, she was a phenomenon. She was, since Cheryl Miller, I hadn't heard people discuss a woman playing in the NBA since Cheryl Miller, right? They talked about BG being able to play in the NBA.
Yes. She's dope.
She's that, you know, and she's always been that. And for this to happen to her really just told me that this could happen to anybody.
Right.
And we know, and as someone who follows women's sports, I know how many of them, especially basketball, know how many of them play internationally.
Right.
So this is a concern. It impacted BG, but it's a concern for thousands and thousands of women who play professional athletics, right, and for men who play internationally in professional athletics, because right, they are still doing what they are called to do. It's just not on like an NBA stage.
Absolutely.
But there are so many stages to be had across all of these different sports and athletics. And it just, and she hits every single identity, being a Black queer woman, you know, every story doesn't align with me in such a close way.
Yeah.
And I just felt like what was happening to her was just so unjust.
It was egregious. It was ridiculous.
It really was and still is.
Yeah.
And her celebrity is the reason she's home.
Absolutely.
And it's the reason why others are not. Right. I mean, it just speaks to so much of that. And I also just think her wife was just brilliant.
Absolutely. Cheryl
Griner was just freaking brilliant. And if you ain't got a Black woman like that in your corner, just redo. Just start over. Yeah, just like, man, hit one of them sound effects, Ty. Just start over.
She wasn't having it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Cheryl Griner was not about to let the love of her life. And then, honestly, and I bet you she thought about this too, somebody's child, sister, niece, she was not about to even allow, by the power of, listen, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, I believe she was not about to allow that situation to go on any further. I felt like it was too long overdue anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm glad she is home.
I'm so glad she's home. And I think it raised so many topics that were so incredibly important and still are. Mm-hmm. We talk about pay equity in women's sports, right? We talk about the notoriety that they have internationally that they don't have here in the United States. Absolutely. Right? There was just so many conversations to be had. At every intersection of my identity, it just hit me in just a very special way. And I really feel honored to be in the space that I was at in a time when I could be of service in that way to report on it, how I was reporting on it, because it did take a lot of time. Research.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a lot of time to tell us the full story, because right, you can read 10 blogs and get a piece here, a piece there, a piece there, a piece there, and still not have a whole picture, because there was only so much everybody knew.
Right.
From, you know, whatever the Secretary of State was saying, Anthony Blinken, or her wife, or right, what they weren't saying, ESPN Daily, all these things. So I just really felt like I was just being a service. And so when people tell me that about my Brittany Griner coverage, when people come up to me and ask me, like, how's BG doing? Even today, I find great joy in that, because it means the work is working. Because
And it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say it. I think you were a major, huge push and effect in that. I think the service and the work that you did helped to push that. Listen, and this is why I tell a lot of podcasters, creators, I'm like, you never know who's watching. You never know who's listening. You never know what's going to happen, right? A video, a podcast can change the trajectory of something. That's that. And to me, that's how I look at it. That's how I've seen it. That's how I've experienced it. And I've experienced it again, just watching what you did over that last, just those, what was it, like 6 months? I mean, consistently, it was you coverage, coverage, coverage. And I mean, you were the only person for me personally, like I said, that I tapped in with, you know, because like you said, you could pick 10 blogs and they'll give you chops of little stuff. But I felt like, again, you and some others put very intentional work into bringing this story to light and helping that situation and bringing her home. So that to me was that made me a true fan of yours. Like that really made me fan of yours. I was like, no, because, you know, we got a lot of news outlets who are just looking for the clickbait, who are just looking for, you know, clicks and likes and views and downloads and that's it. You know, so it's hard to decipher and sift through what's real and what's not. And I think you did an amazing job in doing that. So congratulations. No, honestly, yes, congratulations to you. Honestly, and just thank you. for being news. You said it earlier, not bleeding and leading. You understand what I'm saying? But being humble and loving and stern, right? And effective, right? Bringing the stories that I know I don't know, and I know a lot of my people in the back sometimes may not know too light. So we really, really, really appreciate you, Miss Anna Deshawn.
Hey, thanks, Ty.
I think
the real key, though, in all of our storytelling, and I think it's really important for queer news, is to show people's humanity.
Yes.
Right? I think in the BG coverage, what I really wanted to do was to show her as a human being in this real fucked up situation.
Absolutely.
You know, because oftentimes we end up in these predicaments and we forget that people are human.
Yes.
Right? We want grace, but we don't want to give anybody else any grace.
Oh, you better say that.
Yeah.
You better say that.
Yeah. So, and when I tell these stories on folks, I really do try to share the humanity of them, because I think that's actually how we begin to create change and begin to see people as people and not people as issues.
Right. Amen to that. You are totally on spot with that. Ms. Anna Deshawn, before we get out of here, what is next for The Cube, E3 Radio, Queer News Podcast? I just seen that you, the Cube launch party just happened not too long ago. So congratulations to that. Yeah, so talk to us some more about what's happening in the world of Anna Deshawn. What is coming next for you in the next couple weeks, months? What's going on?
100%. It's exciting. We did just have our Cube launch party, launching the fact that we dropped our first Cube original in early February, Black HIV in the South, How Do We Get Here? And the beginnings of the launch of our entire 2023 slate of Cube original content and telling the stories at the intersections of race and sexuality as it pertains to Black and Brown folks. And so our next podcast will be about polyamory. So excited about that. We're going to have an audio drama drop this year, as well as Second Sunday, which is our podcast about being Black and queer in the Black Christian church. I just know that there's so many stories for us to tell. We're working on so many others as well. And that is exciting to me. So for me, The Cube and the work that we're going to be doing out here in the world, I believe, will allow those folks who don't know, who may be a little curious, to tap into our community and just hear our stories and not listening to respond, not listening to challenge any pre-existing beliefs or ideas you have about who we are, but truly just listening for the humanity in all of our stories. I'm also excited about being a place of discoverability. At the heart of it, that's where The Cube began, wanting us to have a place we can go find our next favorite Black or brown or queer person of color podcast in one spot. We've accepted 94 podcasts into our network. I'm excited about you all being able to discover them. So if you visit our website today, thecube.app, thecube.app, you can begin to explore the network that is The Cube, these amazing creators of podcasts. If you sign up and create an account, you can actually listen from within our web app. And soon we'll have a mobile application as well, but we began with our website and our web app. And I am just excited about that, thecube.app. And I just think what we're making is pretty magical. I think it's pretty unique out here in the space. And I'm excited about the possibilities and just giving it everything, absolutely everything I've got to tell the story of The Cube. Also for queer news, we're just going to keep telling great queer news stories every single week, every Monday by 7 a.m. We drop a new episode and expanding upon the news that we share, doing more interviews, going on location even more, traveling to tell the stories. And I'm excited about all of that. So just stay connected. If you stay connected to one, you'll stay connected to all of them. I promise.
And now, first of all, over 94 submissions.
And I'll say 94 acceptances because we curate everything. I don't even know how many people have submitted, and we actually paused on curation just because the database was building faster than our actual platform. So there's probably like 40 or 50 we haven't even curated yet that I need to follow up on and really open up the opportunities again to submit folks' podcasts and all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
But I just think that the resource is pretty amazing, and we'll keep telling the story. We're working through bugs. We're still in the beta, but I think there's still so much to explore when you visit the site.
Oh my God, Miss Anna Deshaun, you are a woman on a mission. You are killing it out here on the mission. And I mean, you are creating missions and possibilities for others. And you are truly a Black woman who wins in these streets. And we want to thank you for coming on the show. Again, y'all better give Anna Deshaun some round of applause real quick. Yes. Listen. Can you tell everybody where to follow you? On the social medias and everything like that. Where can they follow you? Because her Instagram be popping. Okay. No, for real. Her Instagram be popping, bro. Like when you need that quick 30-second minute news. Yo, CNN. Y'all single me out real quick. Hold on. Single me out real quick. CNN. Hey, MSNBC. You see my girl down there? She right there. Okay? I need you to hire her. Okay? She's dope. She's tell great stories. Okay? She could be a great anchor, but you're gonna have to pay her. Okay? I just need to say that. All right, I'm done. Go ahead, Miss. All right.
What Ty said. Yeah.
Oh man, where can people follow you on the Instagrams, and the Twitters and all of that good stuff?
100%. It's Anna Deshaun across all the social medias, whatever you're looking for, I'm there. And please follow The Cube, thecube app across all the socials. We're probably most busy on Instagram, and we're going to get busy on TikTok here. And then E3 Radio, E3 Radio. But I promise, if you find one, you'll find the others. Yep. They all link to each other. This is a big media family, okay?
I love it.
One is calling and speaking to the other. So
we love it. Ms. Anna Deshaun, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you. And again, continue to be a light for others. Continue to just thrive out here in these streets. And you are a Black woman who wins, okay? To everybody that is watching this, we appreciate you. We thank you. We love you. We will be back with another Black Woman Win interview. You feel me? The series will continue. I'm excited about just bringing some more dynamic women on here. This has just been great. And we have more coming. All right, so please subscribe to our THC Media Network on YouTube. Subscribe to the Black Men Win podcast. If you're listening to this via audio, you feel what I'm saying? Wherever you listen to your podcast from. And also on Apple Podcasts, you know how they got the little network thing now. You know we are network now. So you can go check us out. You know, if it's easier for you to just check out the network, type in the THC Media Network. Literally right there, you can find all 5 of our shows. And new shows that we'll be bringing to the network soon. So please go check that out again. This has been another one. Y'all be good. Stay easy, be breezy, and we'll be back with another one next week. All right? Peace.